you either helped found or are a member of a campus organization right now. Okay, so almost no one doesn't do anything. And every single one of those organizations, now sometimes the fraternities and sororities have a little more stability. The athletic teams are paid for by the university. But most of your organizations, you must feel what I always feel, which is at every meeting, you have to be anxious about whether enough of people will come to have the next meeting and the next meeting. And in some sense, it's really true for you that if you're not committed and everybody else isn't committed to the organization, it'll just die out. If it isn't serving the needs of its members, and if you don't have something in common with the other people that motivates you enough to make you keep coming back to those meetings, the thing will just die out. And I've been in organizations where, you know, the first meeting you have 30 people, everybody's all enthusiastic, and by the third meeting you have 15 people who are committed, and then every meeting after that you have to be anxious. Will 8 people show up? Will 10 people show up? And if it drops below a certain level, everybody just gets discouraged and the thing collapses. That anxiety is a reality. You didn't have the delusion that organization depends on the voluntary choices of its members. You are right. The organization depends on the voluntary choices of its members. So one of the fascinating aspects of American religion is that when immigrant religions come, and let's say Buddhism, I know a lot about Judaism, so I'll say when Israeli Jews get to the U.S., they have the exact same experience that Catholics had a couple of generations earlier, that Buddhists have now when they come, which is that there are no Buddhist temples just sitting there supported by endowments that are centuries old. If you are Buddhist and you want there to be a Buddhist temple, you have to form one just the way Protestants form their churches. So you have to become a voluntarist, committed Buddhist. You cannot in the U.S. be a Buddhist in the same way that you can be a Buddhist in Taiwan or in Korea. Because there's no natural, just, you know, the holidays come around, you go to your ancestors' graves, you put up a shrine in your home, and you are Buddhist. No. In the U.S., you have to become Buddhist the same way that Protestants are Protestant. You have to choose it. You have to join with others to create a physical temple to pray in. You have to practice it actively. They get to America, and first they're confronted with the fact that they won't be Jewish anymore if they don't consciously embrace their Jewishness as a religion. Now, some may say, fine, I don't need to be Jewish, I'm just going to be American. But if they want to remain Jewish, they actually have to become more engaged religiously because it's not built into the society. It's built into the whole way of life, as is Buddhism in many societies that have substantial Buddhist populations, as are other Taoist and Confucian rituals built into Chinese life. Having ancestral graves maintained, these are not things you have to plan for. They're just there. They're there. Well, in the U.S., many Israeli Jews find they have to become religious, and the real shocker is they have to pay dues. So rather than it exists, they would no more in Israel pay for a synagogue, and they come here and they end up having to become actively, chosenly Jewish along the lines of the basic Protestant model, right? And this has happened to every religious community that comes to America. They keep their religion, but it becomes a Protestant congregational form of religion. So now my...
Okay, that's probably a good cutoff point, and we'll probably get into the music a bit, but we'll maybe a little commentary about that, at least in talking about a lot of not just religious organizations, but organizations in general, our choices in the United States, and there's a lot of different pressures from lots of different areas. Lack of third spaces, which we've talked about, and we, in a future episode, we'll probably talk about that a bit more. But the choices, in certain ways, this is in the past, has brought a lot of strengths to organizations that are being chosen in the United States. A lot of our community organizations have been stronger than they have been in Europe because the people have actually sucked out like certain organizations and formed them and create social groups who created a lot of social bonds. And that's a lot of across a lot of different religions and societies that these bonds have formed in the melting pot that we know as the United States, and has really helped us out a lot. Now there's a lot of pressures with media, and we will potentially cover this in the future. There's a book, Entertaining Ourselves to Death, which is a very interesting examination of media and how that affects culture, particularly in the United States. This is a book written in the 80s. And it's basically talking about how the telegraph and how television, and you could probably extrapolate this to now new media and social media. So it's not been a problem or an issue that we have to deal with recently. It's kind of been an ongoing problem, pointed out by Robert Putnam, about the decline in our social organizations forming. So, and probably the United States is on the leading edge of that, because of the voluntarism of our organizations in the United States. A lot of other societies or other cultures kind of have a built-in around them, and there's defaults. So there's have to be an active involvement in people if they want to join an organization or form an organization. You have to be an active member, which has its positives, because you have a lot of people that are actually actively engaged in society, and in the past you could see where that's really helped the United States in innovation and communities. If you look back earlier variations of American cultures, you can see where those cultures haven't been perfect. Obviously, there's lots of things that have been a problem, but you could see how they can build a tight-knit community despite all cultural differences. So if they're actively engaged in other cultural organizations to meet social needs that meet the community, they might have different all religious backgrounds. So usually they formed a cultural organization that's not based upon religion or other cultural background. So I think this is an interesting point that she probably brings up a little bit in this course, but just trying to say United States is not a nationalist Christian nation. It's always been a voluntarism, all religious organizations that have been, when you come here, you start your own organizations. It's not already pre-designated. And that's the separation of church and state has always been a part of the United States in its founding. And you could see how that affects the voluntarism in our cultural organizations that allow us to have a melting pot, if you will, in the United States. That's one of the reasons we've been successful at integrating lots of different people from lots of different areas. So, anyway, I just kind of want to make that point so we're not just dropped off in the middle of this lecture while they're making some other points about. But the last point she's trying to make is that the Protestant ethic is transplanted to other religions that come to the United States. You have to form those organizations, even though they're not Protestant. The ethic of forming your own organizations in the United States is broadly part of our culture in the United States. So, anyway, so we'll play you some music here. DJ Natet's going to be coming up soon and playing a little bit of a mix. And yeah, that's the end. This is basically the last thing I'm going to be covering for Radio Lyceum. My name is James. We're here from 8 to 10. Usually we go over a little bit every week, because it's always too much stuff to fit in, and sometimes people go over a little bit at the beginning. So anyway, actually, we should do one last announcement about the, for DJ Now Ted comes up, we should do an announcement about the pledge drive that we're having here at WRUV. It's the last day of the pledge drive at WRUV. So WRUV has been on air since 1955, and we're celebrating our 70th anniversary campaign. The money we've raised goes towards sending our executive team to national conferences, funding our vinyl restoration projects, and getting a new couch. Your support will keep us on air for years to come. If you would like to join in supporting alternative college radio, go to go.uvm.edu/give WRUV25. Or your donation, or you can send your donation by mail at our mailing address, which is fine at WRUV.org. And I can just read that off to you right now. It's at the mailing address is WRUV, Davis Student Center, UVM, Burlington, Vermont, 05405. And that's the mailing address here at Davis Student Center. And right now, we have a dollar-to-dollar match from China's Transport LLC. We thank them for their support. And while this match is running, your money goes twice as far. So you don't need to do anything special. You can just donate, and they'll match them out. So thank them for doing a matched donation for our radio station. And talking about sending our executive board on conferences, we used to do that every year. And they haven't done that in quite a while, just because shorter funds. So it's an important part of our DJ's education and keeping our station running and keeping up with current topics and procedures. So anyway, just the side thing. Anyway, so let's play you some music, and then there'll be some mixing coming on later. Probably won't be able to call me at the number anymore, but you could probably message me at WRUV.org. There's a chatbot there. You can reach out to me at radiolyceum@protonmail.com. That's the email we have set up for the radio station. So we'll play you a public service announcement because we're a little bit over for that. And then we'll play you some music. So keep on listening. Your better alternative, WRUV FM Burlington.
Creative ways can help to relieve stress and anxiety. It has also been shown to help lower levels of anger and depression after a traumatic event. People often shy away from any kind of artistic or creative expression because they don't consider themselves to be quote-unquote good, but you do not need to be good at something for it to matter or have value. If you enjoy it, do it regardless. The DJs at WRUV recognize the importance of expressing yourself creatively and encourage you to show yourself love through creation.
Insight, foresight, more sight. The clock on the wall reads a quarter past midnight.